Weather is powered by Brockman Heating and Air Conditioning, your independent American Standard Air dealer. Call 423-4331. On time, done right, or it's free. Brockman's Heating and Air Conditioning. With live team coverage at the top and bottom of each hour, it's the lead when it breaks and always online at WoWo.com. I'm Heather Starr on WoWo, 1190 AM and 107.5 FM.
My kitchen floor has seen a lot. Every tear I've cried, every dirty sock. All my secrets, nobody knows.
You may not yet recognize that song, but you do recognize, here comes the voice, because she has always been Fort Wayne's voice, our good friend, and it has been a while since I've seen you, but Addison Agin, hi.
Hi, how it's so you? Great to be back.
Yeah,
it's been a while.
It has been a while. And you've done a lot of things for Fort Wayne and for us. The thing I'll never forget was after you finished the voice, when you came in runner-up, around here, it was almost like you had won.
Right.
I mean, when you book the Embassy Theater and it's a sellout, and then you came on the show and we talked about it a little bit, and then the phone started going crazy and they had to sell another show and
right.
that one sold out too.
Yeah.
I'm like, okay, it's one of two things. Either this show is extremely powerful or people love Addison Agin and I need to get out of the way pretty early.
Or nobody saw the last episode and they all just thought I won or something.
That's what it was. Any good memories still about back then? Is there anybody you're still in touch with from the voice days?
Yeah, still have some of the greatest friends that I met on there, really close friends. Brooke Simpson, who came in third place.
Sure. Yep.
Yeah, a lot of them I keep in touch with all the time. The person that I sang my duet with, Carly Webster,
yeah.
super close with her. She does some graphic design stuff for me, actually. So
wasn't she here? For the embassy, she sang on the embassy.
Yeah. Yep, she was there.
This was awesome.
Yeah, she's awesome.
Now, you know you've kind of arrived when here you are, you're 16 years of age, you come back to Fort Wayne from L.A., you do two sold-out shows at the embassy, you've got orchestration behind you, and when you walk out, there's this tapestry rug on the floor, and you come out and you sing barefoot.
Oh,
you know,
yeah.
If I came out to sing barefoot, it'd be like, oh!
Put some shoes on.
Yeah, get something on there. Yeah.
I know.
Yeah.
No, I do love performing barefoot. It just, you feel more connected to it for some reason. And it feels less stressful. If you're like in heels or something, I know you wouldn't be in heels, but
no.
If I were in heels, it feels like it's, oh, this is super important. But if you just go with no shoes, it's like, oh, we're all at home. This is a living room, even though there's 2,000 people right in front of me.
I've heard this from a singer that I talked to one time who had been on the X Factor or AGT or something.
Uh-huh.
And I had a brief conversation with her and she's deaf.
Oh yeah.
And sings.
Yeah. I think I might know who you're talking about.
Yeah, but she remembered pitches from before she went deaf, but she always performs in bare feet because she says she can sense the music up through the floor.
Mm, the vibrations,
do you get
yeah.
some of that too?
Yeah, you can definitely feel it going through, I mean, just the air, absolutely.
Yeah. Isn't that crazy?
Yeah, totally.
Of course, if I'm walking across the floor, that's the only thing you're going to feel, okay? You're not going to feel the music. You're gonna say,
just
wait
shaking.
A minute. Somebody's got a battleship going across
oh,
the floor.
No.
Here. So what's the latest project that you're working on? What's happening and how did this all come about?
Yes, so the last time I was on, I was talking about the Kickstarter that I did last December in 2019, so I
right.
guess two Decembers ago, where I raised over $30,000 to create a full length album. So it's 12 songs, and we just released the first two singles.
Okay.
Off of it, so you can find those anywhere that you listen to music, Spotify, anything like that.
Yeah. Now these are not Christian centric, but they're also not Christian. Offensive either.
Totally.
Okay.
So I sort of lie on that line where everything I write is, I tell my story, and obviously God is the director of all of that, so he slips in pretty much anything I write. And yeah, absolutely. So a lot of the stories are about family, relationships, growth, hope. A lot of those are the reoccurring themes of the
yeah.
whole album.
That's kind of the way this show is, because this is not a religious station.
Yeah.
Mine is not a Christian program, but
right.
I tell people, don't be surprised if Jesus shows up every once in a while.
Absolutely. You know?
And
yeah,
that's
a great way. Yeah.
Well, because he's a part of our life.
Right.
And if he's going to show up in somebody's life if they're a doctor or if they're a teacher or if they're a bus driver, but they're living out Christ, if you're a musician or if you're in performance like on radio like I am, it's going to show up.
Absolutely.
If it's real.
Yeah. So. If it's in you, it's going to show up no matter how much you try to conceal it. So totally.
Cool. So now when you were on, you went from age 15 to age 16.
Yeah.
Which is nuts, by the way. My daughter was on The Voice.
Yes,
but she was on before you and never quite made it near that far.
Yeah.
But in all that, I was a nervous wreck while she was out there.
Sure.
Because she was out there, I think, either on two or three different stints.
Yeah.
And could you believe how many legalese pages you had to sign?
I know. Yeah. We had to take some crazy tests that we had like a, well, there's a 3-hour difference from here to there.
Right.
And then we had a whole day of auditions, which obviously nerves are just going crazy. And then after that, we found out that we made it to the next round. And then they put down in front of us a 500-question personality test. And at that point, it's like 2 in the morning.
Yeah.
And this test takes like a couple hours to finish. So
there's no way I could do that because I don't have enough personality to have 500 questions. Okay. It's just I had to help my daughter get through all of her legalese pages.
Yeah.
And I was looking. Where's the thing, Courtney, that if you get mad at them, they come and take my dog? And because, I mean, you promise them everything but the moon.
Right. You really do have to be super careful.
Yep.
So
yep.
Luckily, nothing bad happened, and I was released from all of the legal obligations and things like that.
The hotel you stayed at while you were there.
Yeah.
I'm assuming it was probably the same one, but there was like a courtyard, and did you guys all like meet out there sometimes?
Fun.
One night they're out there, and they're all just singing. Courtney said one guy had a guitar. We're all just singing, and all at once, the guy that they didn't even know that was with the studio comes walking across the middle of that courtyard, walks up to another guy, and snatches something out of his hand. He had been sitting there recording them.
Oh, yeah.
Awesome.
People do. I remember they would have like put pictures, like post-it notes of people's faces to watch out for because they're trying to, you know, find our information before the show gets released and then spoil the whole show.
Isn't that nutty?
I know. It's
just
it's
let the
just,
show happen. Nimrod, what's the matter with you?
I know it is. But yeah, we had to be careful for stuff like that, too. And act like we were on the show when we were definitely on the show.
Well, she said when he went over and snatched that and he came over and told us what happened, she goes, I felt like I was in a scene of like Mission Impossible or something.
Right. Yeah. Know? It gets pretty scary. Yeah. There's some scary points for sure.
So this new project, you're how old now? You're 19?
I'm 19, but my birthday is April 1st. So on Thursday, pretty close. I'm almost 20.
Oh, wow.
I'm excited about it. So
well,
I thought I'd
tell
you.
My birthday's in June and I will be absolutely none of your business. this project, you're excited about this?
I'm so excited. We've worked a really long time to get the right people together. We worked and recorded in Michigan with just people that really have a respect for me and what I want to put out, and then I just have a massive respect for them. And so it was really the perfect storm, and I really feel like I'm telling my truth in all of these songs. So there's 12 songs, and I'm just thrilled about each and every one of them.
That's awesome. I want to talk about the process in your head.
It's on the sixes. First thing weekdays during Fort Wayne's morning news on WoWo, 1190 AM, 107.5 FM. Depend on it.
Okay, I know this isn't the new project.
Yeah.
This was old. This was the song that you did. This wasn't your final song on Voice.
Yeah, it was the
Was it the final?
Yeah,
okay.
The final song on
This
the Voice.
Is the song where the lovely Mrs. Miller and I fell madly in love with you. And I'll just tell you, because I mean, and again, the talent is obvious, the singing talent. But it was the writing, the way you turned the lyrics in that song. It's just absolutely amazing. I just loved you forever. And then when you didn't win, you were very gracious. I kicked in the front of my television set.
Through the remote, the TV.
So you've gone other places. I know you've sung at a lot of large Christian concerts that occurred just after with other big names that everybody would know.
Yeah.
But how did this project come to you? I remember you coming in a year ago, December, and you said, my heart's really on doing this. How does that kind of a project come to an artist like you? And does it look like now the way it looked to you in your head back in December of 19?
Well, in my head, it turned out even better than what I was expecting. But it's as an artist, it's something you can't not do. When somebody told me a long time ago, like, do what you can't not do. And these songs really just came to me. And so I just felt like this is, I have to put these out. They came to me for a reason. And they're stories that I really feel that I want to tell. So, and at that point, it was perfect timing of all of these songs being written and then meeting different people that I want to play this music with, my whole band that I'm still just like great friends with, even though we didn't get to play many shows during 2020. But yeah, it all just fell into place at the perfect timing. And so that's when we were like, you know, let's go for this. Let's do a Kickstarter and get this rolling. So we started recording last February, and we recorded a music video to the first single that came out. It's called My Kitchen Floor. And we have a lyric video to the one that just came out on Friday called Still Yours. So yeah, it's all sort of flooding out now, which feels great.
Now, when we hear these songs, will it be pretty apparent to us that Addison Agin has changed or that she's the same?
I'm not sure. That's a great question. I don't know. I should ask some people. Does it feel the same? I think it still feels, to me, it feels absolutely organic and natural for me to be doing this and going in this genre. But that's interesting. I should ask some people.
if you listen to some artists over a period of time, they change. Now, there's obviously a new maturity to your tone.
Sure.
That's obvious. But for me, listening to the two songs that we got, I still hear the same heartbeat going through there. And I'm like, okay, that's her.
Yeah.
I feel you in the song.
Yeah.
Okay, just like Tennessee Rain, which again, let me just say, Pat Miller program, Tennessee Rain, best song she ever wrote. Okay. And the award.
Yeah,
it definitely
feels like I said, it feels like the same person doing it. I don't feel like, oh, I had this huge epiphany and I completely changed. That wasn't really the case at all. It was like what you were saying, just
now do you ever decide, okay, it's time for me to write a song, and you sit down and you write the song?
Sometimes you have to force yourself to do that, especially when you're busy. I mean, this year's been just crazy busy for me, considering the fact that we've all had everything closed, but you have to then put more effort into trying to do all the digital things like live stream shows and all that stuff. So it takes the same amount of work.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Well, you're 19.
Yeah.
I'm at least 4 years older than you.
At least four. Okay. Okay.
But
I was thinking three, but okay.
Thank you very
four.
Much. Now, through the course of my life, I've written about 12 songs.
Okay.
But in writing those 12 songs, it was like it either comes to me in an instant or it doesn't come.
Yeah, that's true.
I heard Barry Manilow one time say, he said, well, we're taking 2 weeks off from the tour in February, and that's when I'm going to go home and write the next album.
A lot of people do that.
What?
Or they schedule a place out, like a hotel or Airbnb, and they go write for a week straight. Some people can do that, and they just need to hone in on it. But, I mean, there are, like, ebbs and flows. Like, 1 year, it's maybe a recording year where you record all the music you wrote, and then another year, it's like, okay, I'm writing and performing, you know?
Yeah.
So it goes back and forth like that, but I don't really go, like, week on, I'm writing, like, all this stuff, and then the next week, I don't touch my guitar, you know? Something like that.
Well, it's like the concert he did in New York one time, and he was then probably just about 3 or 4 years older than you are now. And Manilow said, we knew we were going to be doing the Christmas Eve show. So me and my drummer got together and we just wrote this little tune. And it's just another New Year's Eve. Which by the time he does this whole song, it's amazing.
Uh-huh.
If I had done it, it'd have been like, okay, so like it's 1977 and now it's almost 1978. So it would have been a beautiful piece of work.
Right.
So,
yeah.
So of the two songs that you have that are coming out now, okay, of those two, which of those, this is unfair, which of those two means the most to you personally?
Probably My Kitchen Floor. So that was the first single, and it's really about how your house, especially, I just moved out, so my childhood home, it holds so many memories that I've long forgotten at this point, or I was too young to even know. So it's sort of me saying, if you could ask my kitchen floor all of these stories, it would have a way better answer than I would, and it knows so much about me.
Who thinks like this? You know, who does that? You make me look like an idiot.
No, but, not at all.
But I'm a political idiot. That's a little different. But so that song has great
meaning.
It
means
to
a
you.
Lot. It's very family oriented, and the music video, my whole family's in it.
Really?
From growing up, and my childhood dog as well, who looks a lot like my dog now. So people think they're the same ones, but anyways, they're different dogs. So yeah, it just tells a lot. There's home videos of me when I was a newborn in the music video when I was three and all growing up. So it's really special. It's really special.
That's awesome.
To me. Yeah.
So are you looking forward to? Is it the 22nd probably of next month when you guys are out and you're starting your tour? Okay. Are you really, really, really just chomping at the bit to get out there? Because these songs have been rolling around your head now for
right.
a year and a half.
Yeah, I've heard them forever. Yeah. It's just now people get to hear them. Well, yeah, the biggest difference, we've played these songs at shows before. Obviously, there weren't that many in 2020. But now people will have heard them before they come to the concert. And they'll maybe, it's always the coolest thing to see someone singing your own song. Like,
never happened to me. I wouldn't know.
Okay.
I hear it's
amazing.
Out of
the 12 songs you made?
No, I hear it's amazing, though, that you do that.
So that is now possible. Instead of all of the songs I'm playing being new to people, people can really connect with them and have their own stories tied to them from listening to them at home.
Well, you know, I told you about my daughter that had gone through the whole voice thing, all that. She and I are watching Adele live in London one time, and the video's playing, and she did Someone Like You.
Nice.
And halfway through it, she just takes her mic and leans it to the crowd. Okay. The whole audience is starting to sing, and Adele starts tearing up.
Yeah.
And I look over, and Courtney's tearing up. And then I'm tearing. I don't even know all the words to the song, and I'm tearing up. So we're going to slip away for the news, okay?
Yeah.
There's a lovely young lady who'll be at the microphone over there in a minute. And if I don't give her enough time to do the news, she comes in here and she beats me up.
Okay,
so I
have
to do that.
Yes,
Addison's going to be with me for one more segment. So we'll talk through all this with her. This is the part of musicianship that has always intrigued me. Not who hits the highest note or the loudest note or the biggest concerts, but who feels what they do. We'll talk more straight ahead.
The Pat Miller Program, from the Windows, Doors, and More studio, with designers on staff to help you figure out how to remodel your kitchen and bath, on WoWo, 1190 AM, 107.5 FM. Depend on it.
Is this still yours?
Yes.
Okay. So what was the driving idea behind that song?
So I wrote it after a breakup, as every songwriter does.
Uh-huh.
And it's about having the drive to someone, anyone's house so memorized that when you get on a road that's not going to their house, but is one of the roads that you take to their house, you accidentally go to their house on accident because it's so ingrained in your brain. And so I wrote that because this was like the week after me and this guy had broken up, before this guy right behind me, my boyfriend here.
I just looked over him just to see what kind of look was coming across his face.
No, it's like one of his favorite songs to play about a breakup. Isn't that interesting? We have two breakup songs on the album, and they're like his favorite.
What do you think you are, Adele?
I know.
Her first album was nothing without the breakup.
Seriously. No, they are important for some songwriters. You got to.
Yeah. Well, if you're writing from your heart,
yeah,
and you're angst,
yeah,
that's the emotion and the place and the time that you know it better than anything
totally,
else.
Totally. And nobody wants to write a song when they're happy. They just want to go have fun. They don't want to you know, sit down and write a song. When you're sad, you've got all the time in the world to think about it.
So these two singles are out.
Yes.
The album is done.
Yes.
Okay. So now
album comes out in late spring.
Okay. So you guys are chewing at the bit and gnawing to get out there on the road.
Yes.
And that happens in about a month.
Yeah, so, I mean, we just got back from South Carolina playing some shows, and we'll be headed up to Minnesota and Illinois here soon in April.
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
Now, you
got
to figure out a way to get back here for a show at some point.
I know.
In Fort Wayne.
I know, yeah.
Because I'll tell you what, I'll promote it just enough. We'll pack the embassy three times instead of two.
I don't know about that. I don't know about that.
Dude, but you should have seen it back then. It was nuts, you know, because everybody was sitting there calling, and they were mad at me because I just had her on. And they said, I can't get tickets. And I thought, oh, these people. So I went onto the site. I couldn't get tickets.
Yeah.
So
That's so funny. They called you?
Yeah.
That's so funny.
And I think I called your dad. And
maybe.
I said, I don't know what you need to do.
Yeah.
But something needs to happen here. And so we did it again. And I think in a day and a half, the whole second show sold.
Yeah. It was like 4 hours for the first show and then a day for the next one, which it was insane. So
Fort Wayne just didn't really care for you that much.
Obviously not. Obviously not. No, they really did back me. And still, so many people for the Kickstarter. So many people from the Indiana area, just the Midwest for sure, has been supporting me like crazy, but especially Fort Wayne.
I forget, who was it that got you to apply to go onto The Voice? Who was it that
My Spanish teacher.
That's right, from school. Yeah.
Good memory. Yeah. So I was singing the national anthem. I was homeschooled most of my life, but the one year that I did go to an actual school.
Right.
Not that homeschool isn't actual school, but anyways.
See how she covered herself right there? Did you see that, ladies and gentlemen?
It is actual school. So she heard me sing the national anthem at a volleyball game and signed me up the next day. There was 2 days until the first auditions were in Chicago. You've gone through this whole thing with your daughter.
Yep.
So you know all about it. But yeah, she signed me up and then emailed my mom and said, hey, I signed your daughter up. Would she want to go? And I was like, sure. Took the leap of faith and there I was.
And in nobody's head, I'm not trying to belittle you or anything, but in nobody's head we're like, I'm either going to win this thing or come in second or third.
Oh, absolutely not.
You're just saying, I just want to go.
Absolutely failed the first audition. I forgot the lyrics and the melody and was just guessing all over the place and then had to start over. And somehow, by the grace of God, I made it through. I do not know how. I would have never thought I got that far.
I'll tell you the thing. When Kim and I watched, and we got to where we watched you every week.
Yeah.
And I think, if memory serves, I talked to you once before the show ended, and you couldn't tell me what happened.
Yes.
It had already happened.
Yes.
But you couldn't tell me.
Right. One of the times I was back here.
As I recall, I offered you like a $200 dinner somewhere in town, whatever you wanted, just let me know, and you wouldn't tell me. You had a great game face.
Yeah.
I hated that about you.
all those legal things, you know about
it.
I can't talk about it. Yeah.
But every time we would watch you, the one thing that always struck me, like with Tennessee Rain, was it was just genuine. You don't have to listen to Tennessee Rain more than one time.
Yeah.
To know it's beautiful, good lyrics, the melody's perfect, but you know exactly what the person singing the song was feeling and what they meant.
Mm. Really fun about singing some of the covers on the show, like of course the Joni Mitchell songs. There's so much depth to those songs, incredible songwriter. So to get to really dive in, most of my rehearsing was just me reading the lyrics, being like, oh my gosh, this could mean so many things, this tells this specific story, what a crazy way of saying this. That was most of my rehearsing.
Well, the Maroon 5 frontman was your guy, right?
Yeah, Adam Levine.
And I remember in one show Adam was talking about She Gets It, because you were singing what he called old soul songs. That you were reaching back 20 years to some of these previous people and taking some of their songs that other people go, oh, I don't want to go sing that. And you're like, there's so much in this song.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah. And that was so cool that he would help me. He's the one that we sat in a room for actually a couple hours together trying to pick a song for the next week. And that's when we landed on A Case of You by Joni Mitchell.
Right.
And that was definitely my favorite song to sing on there. So yeah, I had never even heard of the song before, so it took his expertise to sort of introduce me to that. He knew the right thing at the right time. So
first time I met you, you were coming to the end. You still couldn't tell me how the show turned out. But you were this sweet kid from the near southwest side of Fort Wayne, in your dad's record shop and all that. You love the Lord. We talked about that a little bit.
Yeah.
Things are getting bigger and better and faster and moving, but has some of that not changed? The Lord still matters to you. Family still matters to you. Where the songs come from, all that stuff still matters.
Oh, more than ever. More than ever. I mean, I've just grown more in my faith as time has gone on. In my family, just the bonds between us all have just grown so much. I mean, at that point in time, I was a teenager, still living at home and with a lot of stress. So it feels good to know. I just moved out recently. And so I don't know. There's lots of there's a lot of love within every member of my family. So, yeah. And this is my family's birthday season. Every one of my family's birthdays in March, except for mine's April 1st. I was one day late. So,
but see, you stand apart from everybody else.
Yeah.
See?
So we've been doing a lot of celebrating of our family members. So yeah, there's a lot of love there.
Yeah, well, that's awesome. I cannot tell you, first of all, how glad I am that you came back onto the program. It means a lot to me.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
But also just how proud I am for how life is going for you. And I'll never forget. Now, folks, don't take this wrong. I the fact that I said it meant nothing. But I remember I walked up to you at that first event with Buck Sexton. And I remember I came up to you because you were standing over there. And we were back in that back room waiting to go out.
Oh, yeah.
And I remember I said to you, because I said, you know, when you were on my program, I could tell the hand of God was on you.
Yeah.
Don't ever walk away from that hand.
Yeah.
You know,
absolutely.
And you haven't, which is really awesome.
Oh, no, not at all. Not at all. That's the only reason I'm probably still doing okay.
Yeah. Because there are several others your age walk around and look, they're not doing okay.
Yeah. So, no, it's true. It's true.
Yeah. You're not suing your parents for malfeasance or anything like
right,
that.
Right. So, exactly.
There you go. Hey, listen, thanks so much.
Absolutely.
Addison Agin. So this interview will be up on our website before 6 o'clock. So go to wowo.com, find the Pat Miller page. You'll see this interview. Remember, whenever you go there, the most current interview is first. And then John, who's producer par excellence, John will make sure that the upcoming cities and the tour for her will also be on our page. It may not be here in Fort Wayne for a year or two, but there might be a place that's just, you know, 4 or 5 hours away. Drive there, see a great show, spend the night, and have dinner in the city or whatever. And it's a great thing to do. Addison, thanks a ton.
Thanks so much for having me.
Yep.
Podcasts by Federated Media. Podcasts by Federated Media.